Welcome to the Student Affairs Lecture Series. Our series today will be on budget planning. With us today is Samuel Matheny from Student Financial Services. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you, Denisha.
Okay, let's get started. What is a budget?
Well, a budget plan is specifically a plan where someone develops a way to meet their expenses and be proactive with their discretionary income. And we're going to help define expenses and discretionary income later in this presentation.
How is this different than the cost of attendance published by the school?
Well, I think a lot of students get confused because we talk about creating budgets, and on the other hand, the school has this cost of attendance. The cost of attendance is produced by the school, and it's our estimate of what a student is likely to spend during each academic school year. Each med class has a different cost of attendance. In a way, the cost of attendance is a direct effort by our institution, actually by the federal government, as well as university, to help keep the cost of education down. It's unfortunate, but in many circumstances, if there was not a cost of attendance, many students would potentially overspend throughout their college career. What's interesting about the cost of attendance, and again, the reason we encourage students to budget, is that not all students have the same cost of attendance. A lot of our students might have a cost of attendance that's below what we say their cost of attendance is, and yet there's many students that have a cost of attendance above what we believe a student should have in expenses. For example, those with families without a significant wage earner is going to have potentially a cost of attendance above what we suggest. And then also there's such things as the medical issues and things like that that students might have that might cause a higher cost of attendance.
Okay. Why is it important to create a budget plan?
Well, I tell you, it's probably, in my opinion, one of the most essential things that students do outside of academics. I suggest that we want to be more proactive rather than reactive when it comes to our personal finance. It's funny because if I were to ask a student, are you going to prepare for this upcoming anatomy test, I think I'd get a strange look. And I think the reason that is, of course they're going to prepare and study for that next anatomy test. Well, I think when it comes to personal finance, the same principle applies. I mean, we got to definitely prepare on a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, and a yearly basis what our situation's going to be so that we can be more proactive and on a financial stance.
What are some reasons why students do not create a budget plan?
Well, I think students have a variety of reasons. Some of the ones I hear most often is, I don't care about money. I think that's, in my opinion, probably one of the worst, meaning because I believe that kind of goes back to I don't care about my personal health. The reason I say that is because creating a budget, understanding your personal finance helps reduce stress. And I think anybody who is looking for money because their expenses are too high or something of that nature, they're going to come into stress. So, again, it's reducing stress, so I'm not sure about that reason. Another one is somehow, Sam, I'm able to meet my everyday expenses. That's kind of what students will tell me in my office. And I think probably the biggest thing I can say to those students is that one day they're going to get hit with a lump sum expense, and it's going to be hard for them to deal with it because they're not expecting or not being proactive in meeting that expense. Some other ones is it takes too much time. I simply think this is not true. Many times in my office when I'm meeting with students and we're going through budgets, I think within 15 minutes to a half hour, students have a very strong understanding of their personal budget. Two others, my parents and friends do not budget. Why should I? This is just unfortunate because most of society are negative saving individuals. And what that means is they're spending not only their income, but they're also putting money on, putting debt on credit cards, or a lot of people will take the minute they get home equity, equity in their house, they'll try to take loans out on that equity. So again, I'm not sure if we want to follow society on this. And then finally, the one that really drives me a little crazy, I'll be honest, is students often tell me I'm too busy. Well, I can honestly tell you, since I do have a brother actually in who went through medical school, that no one is going to be students are going to be just as busy as a resident and as a doctor, and then when life takes hold and families having children and things like that, you'll find that your life gets even more busier. Now in medical school is the perfect opportunity to create a budget plan and good habits, because they'll lead you through residency and the rest of your life.
Well, isn't it true that when students go into residency, and especially once they become doctors, their income increases drastically, doubles and triples, so they don't have enough to meet their needs? Is it still essential to have a budget?
Yeah, and that's a great point, Denisha. I think everybody's always looking forward when it comes, but not everyone, but I think a lot of students will say, well, Sam, honestly, you know, I might have $5,000 in credit card debt, but one day I'm going to be making this amount of money. And so I think any habit such as spending future income is a bad habit. So I think if you're doing that or you're thinking in that manner, for example, tax season's coming up here in December, or actually January, individuals will start doing their taxes, and yet that return that they're getting has already been spent 3 or 4 times, in their mind at least. So just bad habit.
Okay, so now that we know it's important, how do you create a budget?
Well, I tell you, the first thing, in my opinion, is you want to, if you do have a family, when it comes to a spouse and children, you want to involve them in the process, especially kids. I mean, they need to understand money. They need to understand budgets from an early age, because I think it's very, very helpful. And then they understand why they can't have certain things. So it's always, always very helpful. I think there's 3 major components, Denisha, to budgeting. And I think these are simple items. One is income. We need to list out our income. The other one is expenses. And then the final one is discretionary income. And we've talked a little bit about that, or at least mentioned discretionary income. And discretionary income can be defined as your income minus your necessary expenses will result in discretionary income. If at the Student Affairs Lecture site, and underneath this presentation, you'll find the Med 1, 2, 3, and 4 budgets that a student, we've put together, that students can fill out. And on that budget sheet, students will find that we've kind of pre-populated one column where it talks about the college and the expenses underneath that. What we did was we took the cost of attendance and kind of labeled throughout the budget what we believe students should try to stay around when it comes to those different costs. The next column is the monthly column, and this is the column that's probably the most important on this budget sheet. This is where students are going to sit down and try to determine what their costs are for a month. This is easier said than done. The best way to do this is actually for a month or two, write down your daily expenses. That will tell you or give you a true picture of your monthly expenses. And yet another way to do this is to just simply estimate and try to sit down and think about what you do when it comes to spending. For example, when it comes to eating out, you have to ask yourself, how many times do you eat out a week? Do you eat out, or actually, how many times do you eat out a day? Do you eat out once a day, twice a day? And every time do you eat out, do you spend $5 or $10? So if you eat out once a day for $5, you would multiply that $5 by 7 days a week, and then you multiply that number by 4 weeks to get that monthly expense. So again, you always want to round your expenses to a higher number. When it comes to your income, you always want to reduce that to round it to a lower number. And one thing about income, Denisha, is that most students have financial aid, and this gets a little tough because that budget sheet is in quarters. We need to budget in a quarterly way, because that's when most students get the significant portion of their income. And so what students need to do is look at the top of that sheet, and fall quarter, for example, comprises of, for a Med 1 student, certain months. So you would want to take your monthly expense that you put down and multiply it by that number of months to determine your quarterly expenses. I'm sorry, your quarterly income.
Okay. Is there a way, or do you suggest, how often do we visit this budget?
Well, anybody can put together a budget. I think that's the easiest thing to do. The tough part is actually the monitoring, kind of revisiting the budget. I would suggest, at least in the early start of budgeting, that once you've determined what your monthly budget is going to be, you need to at least biweekly, if not weekly, make sure that you're meeting you're going to meet your monthly expenses. I've told students that you always have to have a mental idea of how much you should be spending when it comes to certain categories. And again, I'll go back to food. For example, groceries. If you put down that you spend $50 a month, $50 a week, and you do this, you go grocery shopping every week during the month, well, that's four times within that month, so that's $200 that you expect to spend when it comes to groceries. So when you go into the grocery store, you need to think or have in your mind that you're only going to spend $50. Now, there might be a reason that you go over $50, but remember that somewhere else in your budget, you'll probably want to compensate for that overspending. So again, it's trying to stay as strict to this budget as possible.
Do you have any suggestions of ways we can streamline certain fluctuations in the budget?
Great question, Denisha. I think when it comes to such things as car payments and car insurance, and because I know some students have insurance where they pay it every 6 months, I would suggest for students to try to get monthly expenses rather than these lump sum expenses. When it comes to financial aid, it's very difficult to plan for lump sum expenses. Another sort of expense is utilities. Those can definitely fluctuate. Many utility companies will work with students to create budget plans. And what that means is you contact your utility company and say, I'd like to be put on a budget plan. And they will do that for you so that you pay a normal monthly expense when it comes to utilities rather than it being fluctuated throughout the year.
Okay, thank you for that information. It seems like you've given us a lot of information about how budgeting is essential, and it can be made easy. Also, it seems that you and your office is able to work with us if we need help with this. Are there any other last minute tips that you can offer?
Well, if we go back to that budget sheet, we'll see that once a student adds up their income and subtracts their expenses for the month, it's essential that the bottom number, where it says total income minus total expenses, which basically equals your discretionary income, that must be positive. What that means is you have more income than you have expenses. If that number is negative, and as you multiply it out for each of the different quarters, if that number is negative, you're going to be in trouble. A lot of times students will find themselves coming to our office in a panic. They haven't budgeted because they are in the negative when it comes to being able to meet their expenses. Especially for all students, fall quarter is one of the most difficult to get through because there's more months fall quarter than there are the rest of the quarter. So again, I think it's critical that students go through this budget. They understand that their discretionary income must be positive. It cannot be negative. And if it is negative, they definitely need to come in and talk with the Student Financial Services office.
Okay.
And one other thing, Denisha, before I forget, we've been talking about this word discretionary income. And if a student is receiving loan money, it's very critical that if their discretionary income is positive, that's not necessarily a good thing while they're in school. What that means is they're taking out too much loan money, I mean, quite simply. Now, that's not a bad thing if you have a plan on what you're going to do with that money. For example, Med 1 students, they do not go they're not enrolled in classes but the summer between their Med 1 and Med 2 year. So students potentially who are trying to save to meet their summer expenses proactively so that in case they do not get employment, that money will help them meet their summer expenses. So again, I think you need to plan as a Med 1 student if you're not going to have a job, to have positive discretionary income so that you can meet those summer expenses. For Med 4 students, something that's significant is that their financial aid fluctuates. Most Med 4 students don't realize that. What that means is a Med 4 student is registered half-time in the summer, full-time in the fall, half-time in the winter, and full-time in the spring. Well, with that roller coaster of registration comes a roller coaster of charges, and students are only charged half time, two quarters. So a lot of times their financial aid is going to fluctuate up and down their Med 4 year, and students must prepare because a lot of times, or most times, students will receive twice as much financial aid during those two quarters where they're only getting charged half time, and so they need to plan to save some of that money to help them for the next quarter when they're not going to receive as much financial aid.
Thank you. I think this presentation has been very insightful, and I believe this will be a great resource for our students now and in the future. Thank you so much for your time, Sam.
Thank you, Denisha.